Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello and welcome back. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Today we have two important stories for you. The first concerns elections this weekend in Nigeria. A little later, we will hear about Germany. What part will it play in the future of Europe? Politics and more politics on this special edition of As It Is. Here is part one. Nigeria is holding elections Saturday following 2 years of political unrest. Voters will elect both a president and parliament. The ruling People's Democratic Party, or PDP, is facing its first real test since coming to power in 1999. The lead opposition party, the All Progressives Congress, has become a powerful player in Nigerian politics since it formed in 2013. How did it happen? The All Progressives Congress, or APC, developed from an alliance of at least three regional Nigerian parties in 2013. The resulting group was large, but critics still said the new party would not survive. But then leading PDP members began to withdraw from that party and join the APC.
The headline story this week is the massive defection of some lawmakers in the House of Representatives.
Five governors joined the APC. 37 representatives followed them. Then 11 senators left the PDP for the APC, and the moves continued. In 2014, the PDP seemed to recover. The party had a new leader, and it made efforts to solve some of its problems. Some former members returned.
In the most recent cross, 5,000 APC members in Kaduna State rejoined the PDP.
The movement between the parties continues even now, with just days to go before presidential and parliamentary elections. The APC and the PDP keep gaining and losing members. Some observers say results of the vote Saturday could lead to more political moves both ways. Nigerians will be electing state governors and state assemblies on April 11th.
You find people jumping ship, quite unashamedly, to the party of the president-elect.
That is Dawn Demowo, a political expert at the Abuja-based Communications and Advisory Service, Africa Practice. She says the APC's success in Nigerian party politics has a lot to do with timing. In her words, they were able to capitalize on the fact that there was disenchantment within the PDP. There were people who were ready to quit the party and move to the APC, so it got a big boost from that. One of the main areas of dispute, whether President Goodluck Jonathan broke the PDP agreement for power sharing between Nigeria's north and south. Under the agreement, each president from the north would be followed by someone from the south, and a northerner would replace a southerner. Some in the PDP believe the north was owed another term when Mr. Jonathan, a southerner, was a presidential candidate and won in 2011. But Nigerian political scientist Kabir Mato thinks the APC is riding a sea of change. He says Nigerians are slowly rejecting the traditional politics of ethnicity, religion, and local concerns. President Jonathan has dismissed the defections in his party. "Such is politics," he told reporters in February. He said there are no permanent friends or enemies in politics, just permanent interests. The APC has a majority in the House. APC members govern 14 of Nigeria's 36 states. Observers say a six-week delay of the elections has helped the ruling party. The postponement was ordered because of security issues in northern Nigeria. But the vote is still expected to be close. APC presidential candidate Muhammadu Buhari led the military government that ruled Nigeria in 1984 and 1985. He has sought the presidency several times, most recently in 2011 when he lost to Goodluck Jonathan. Mr. Buhari won the mostly Muslim North in that vote, but he was weak in the South. The APC has campaigned hard there this time. Mr. Buhari visited southern Nigeria again this week. Don Dimowo says he will receive a lot more votes there this time than he did in 2011. She says it will be exciting to watch what happens. APC officials describe the presidential election as a judgment on 16 years of PDP rule. But some experts wonder how different the APC really is. There is a fair bit of the PDP establishment in this new party, and probably more will join if Mr. Buhari wins. You are listening to VOA, the Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington. Some observers say Germany has the makings of a world power. They note the German government's lead in trying to solve the European financial crisis. They also point to German involvement in diplomatic efforts to stop the war in Ukraine. But other observers wonder whether Germany is ready to get more involved in world events. Christopher Jones Cruz explores the size and limits of Germany's power.
Germany is the largest economic power in Europe. The country has never been as economically strong, secure, and free as it is today. Germany is the fourth largest economy in the world and one of the top exporters. In the 24 years since Germany was unified, it has become the most valuable European partner of the United States. But it has been and is reluctant to take the lead in world events. Stephen Sabo is the executive director of the Transatlantic Academy Research Center. He wrote a book called Germany, Russia, and the Rise of Geoeconomics. He says Germany is now deciding its future.
Its whole idea of being an economic power, not a military or strategic power. Will Germany stop being a big trading state that concerned only about trading, or will it now begin to rebalance?
Stephen Sabo says it will not be easy for Germany to become a great power. He says the 2009 debt crisis in Europe caused a shift in political power on the continent. The debt crisis forced a number of European countries to cut government programs and make other financial reforms. Mr. Sabo says these measures led to a rise in extremist groups. He says the extremists do not agree on many issues, except their dislike of the steps Germany has required as a condition for economic help.
I think there's been a certain degree of arrogance about, we have the right way, you should just follow our way. This is something that they're going to have to address.
Reinhard Bütikofer is a German politician and a member of the country's Council on Foreign Relations. He says the German military is an important part of NATO's new Rapid Response Force. The alliance decided to create such a force after Russia's actions in Ukraine. Mr. Bütikofer says the German military also is expanding into other areas.
And the Germans, who are never very eager to sort of get involved militarily, have put troops into some of the Baltic countries, helping these countries that have very weak military protection of their own.
Germany is also giving weapons to Iraqi Kurdish forces for their operations against Islamic State militants. Experts say whether Germany will become a world power depends on the strength of an international political system supported by Western power. They note a lot of that support is now coming from Germany. I'm Christopher Jones Cruz.
And I'm Jim Tedder in Washington.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Education Report. A United Nations representative wants international support for programs aimed at helping 28 million boys and girls return to school. The children are unable to continue their education because of wars and crises around the world. Former British Prime Minister Gordon Brown is the UN's Special Envoy for Global Education. Mr. Brown says schools were once safe places for children. Now, he says, they are increasingly becoming instruments of war. In the past 5 years, there were more than 10,000 attacks on schools. Mr. Brown told the United Nations recently that the international community should spend money to make schools safer. He proposed creation of an international humanitarian fund for education in emergencies.
It is our moral duty to make sure that every single child in the world can enjoy the basic right to education, free of terror, free of fear, and with the support of the international community.
Mr. Brown is thinking about new uses of technology to improve school safety. A pilot program has been launched in Pakistan. 3 months ago, the Pakistani Taliban killed 140 children at a school in the city of Peshawar. Pakistani officials are now working with Predictify Me, a technology company based in the United States. Under the Pakistan Safe Schools program, schools will use new computer software to test their safety plans. The results of the testing will help school officials prepare better for emergencies. Mr. Brown said it is a major step forward in a country where more than 5 million children do not go to school. The technology will make it possible to learn what schools and governments are doing to prevent attacks on schools. The UN representative also called for the release of the more than 200 girls kidnapped by Boko Haram militants. He said more than 10 million children are out of school in Nigeria. The UN's Safe Schools Initiative has collected $30 million for protecting Nigerian schools. The Syrian conflict has kept 3 million children out of school, many for several years. 500,000 of them are refugees in Lebanon. Mr. Brown said it is time for the international community to wake up and deal with the problems facing children. And that's the Education Report. I'm Jill Robbins.